Bethany. Let's pray. Father, this morning a theme has made itself apparent, and that is our need and to rest in you, to find shelter in you, to be comforted by you, to know, Lord, that sometimes in our lives you walk us through difficult circumstances, not as punishment, but as a way to gather our attention and our affections. Lord, today I know that many of us come to this place with heavy burdens, concerns, worries, struggles. And Lord, we've been carrying them on our own. And Lord, you tell us to cast our cares upon you. So Lord, I'm asking that your word, as we look at it this day, as your children, will encourage us to find our rest in you. And Father, for those who don't call on the name of Christ as their Savior, that today they would find spiritual rest from their toil and their attempts of obtaining salvation when they find rest in Christ's accomplished work for them. And Lord, we pray these things in our glorious Savior's name. Amen. Well, as you look around, you can tell that many of our family are absent. It is Labor Day weekend, and so it's the last little opportunity for some families to get away before we get into the full force. Let me ask you this. Do you know the history of Labor Day? Right, many of us, we just celebrate it, but we don't necessarily always know why we have the holidays that we have. Labor Day was founded in the 1880s as a time to recognize, to celebrate the strength of trade and labor unions, thus Labor Day. We think of labor, we think of work, right? But really, parades were marched down city streets to celebrate those who had gathered together in union-like forms and for the work that they were doing. Now, Florida is not a union state like some of the states in the north, so maybe you're not as familiar with unions, but unions are a significant part of many people's lives, right? And so this idea of having a day where we recognize those who are involved in labor developed, and eventually Grover Cleveland, the president of the time, established Labor Day as a national holiday. For us today, Labor Day doesn't necessarily connotate ideas of labor unions. It connotates the idea of a changing of time, doesn't it? For many of us, Labor Day brings about school. Some of you that are from the North knew that school started after Labor Day, right? Here in Florida, we're always all confused, right? We start early, we have exams after Christmas time, we do all kind of weird things, right? But generally speaking, schools in the North, they would start after Labor Day. So Labor Day was kind of like the last hurrah. We're going to the ocean, we're going away for the weekend, and when you come back from Labor Day, school starts. For us, Labor Day also may represent a time of transition regarding your clothes, right, ladies? I don't understand all that, but supposedly Labor Day was the last day you could do what? See, y'all know, it's important to y'all, right? I'll put on something and my wife will go, "You can't wear that." And what, the match? That's wool, and it's blah, 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 whatever. So, yeah, so white after Labor Day supposedly was a taboo, right? But again, we're South Florida. We do all kinds of things differently, but there are those people who open-toed shoes, white clothes, linen, whatever the issue is. No nose after Labor Day. Labor Day brings about changes of weather, right? I know when we lived in Kentucky, we longed for the fall because that was the time when the heat of the summer subsided, the trees began to change, the beautiful leaf colors and the leaves. I mean, it was just an amazing season. And so Labor Day was kind of the transition out of the hotness and into the wonderful time of year. Here for us, again, in South Florida, Labor Day just means it's the intensity of hurricane season. Right? None of us look forward to that. We look forward to October, November, get us out of this month where the news people scare us to death about every wave that comes off of Africa because it's going to develop into another Katrina, right? I mean, that's what our fear is And for some of you, you lived here during significant hurricanes, and so we know how September brings those beasts. For others, Labor Day is the cook-off of football. Right? I mean, many of you spent time yesterday watching football. Many of you saw LSU win, and that was exciting for our family. Maybe some of your football teams won as well, right? But it's a time of the season where there's an excitement in the air, right, that comes about. And Labor Day seems to bring that. For many of us, tomorrow, Labor Day, we'll have off. We'll be spending the day maybe grilling out hamburgers or hot dogs. We'll try to spend the day with our family and friends. We'll try to just do things where we can just relax. Because if we're honest, every one of us live busy lives, don't we? We're running to and fro. We're always doing something. We live in a day and an age where there really is no break. I was telling the first service, this is, you guys are a little bit older than the first service. The first service, I told them, I can remember when I was in high school, having a pager was really cool. Remember those days when you had a pager, right? And so you thought, well, this is cool because then I don't have to be at a certain place. You can get hold of me somewhere. But what did a pager bring about? Bondage. What do cell phones bring about for us? It's not freedom, it's bondage. You can't go away on vacation, you can't do anything because somebody's going to call you, and they expect that you should answer. Why? Because you have a cell phone, right? So we all live these lives where we're overwhelmed and with kids' activities, with work, with just life. I mean, we get on Facebook, we're involved in emails. I mean, there's just so much that always is going on in our life where we just don't rest, relax. God knows that we need a day of rest. And isn't it really a gift from Him that He didn't just give us Labor Day, but He says, hey, I want you to rest every week. So much so that I'm going to set apart one day for that rest. So today, as we think about Labor Day, and we think about resting, and we think about all the fun things we're going to do, I really want us just to take a few moments to remind ourselves of God's great gift of a day of rest. Sometimes we call it Sabbath, sometimes we call it the Lord's Day or Sunday, you know, those activities. But what I want us to remind ourselves is what He said in Exodus about the idea of a day of rest. So if you have a Bible, look over at Exodus chapter 20. They're still working on the projector. Hopefully we'll have it in the next week or two, and we'll put things back up on the screen to make it a little bit easier. But it's just three verses. We're going to read from, well, actually four. We're going to read verse 8. Exodus chapter 20. I know we don't often read things about Sabbath because we think, oh, that's Jewish and we're Gentile believers. But let's just kind of walk through this today. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who's within your gates. Why? Verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and He made it holy. A couple of words that jump out from that text: remember, Sabbath, holy, right? So we're going to try to walk through each of those. What is Sabbath? What does it mean to remember it? How do I keep it holy? So, what is Sabbath, or what are we getting here from Exodus chapter 20? Generally speaking, the Sabbath day is a special day. It was a day that's distinct from all the other days, right? The 6 days you shall work, on the seventh day you rest. And what's amazing is it wasn't just in the Ten Commandments that God mentions Sabbath, but all throughout the Old Testament. God wants His people to rest in Him and for His glory. Exodus chapter 31, verse 15. And I'm just going to read some of these, and I want you to hear what they say. You can just write them down and go back and look. Exodus 31, 15. For 6 days, work may be done, but on the seventh day, there's a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does work on the Sabbath shall surely be put to death. And we see Jesus encountered a lot of struggles, right, in His ministry on, was He healing on the Sabbath and what was going on, and they wanted to put Him to death often because of Sabbath. Leviticus 23, verse 3, for 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh it's a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord and all your dwelling. Look, what we need to recognize as the people of God is the Sabbath isn't some type of like legalistic thing that God has put on us, trying to force us to keep his ways, and it should be seen as a burden. Jesus said, Sabbath is made for whom? For men, for us, not us for the Sabbath. It's not a taskmaster. We should see it as a gift from God. Listen, in Exodus chapter 23, verse 12, 6 days you're to do your work, but on the seventh day you shall cease from labor in order that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the sons of your female slave, as well as your stranger, listen, may refresh themselves. Isn't that interesting? God is saying, you work, you work, you work, but there needs to be a time of refreshing, of renewal, of revitalization. Anybody need that? Right? We all do in some way or another, don't we? Listen, Exodus 34, verse 21. You shall work 6 days, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Listen, even during plowing time and harvest, you shall rest. We're going to come back to that in a minute. Rest. The Lord is telling us it's okay to take some time off. We live in a day and an age where it's not okay. If you're not working every day, or you're not always on call, or you're not always available, it's this, if you're not honoring your job or your work, and all the while God is saying, no, do your work while it's your time to do work, but also make sure that you spend time in rest because it is good for your soul. Now, some of you are going to start thinking, okay, well, Sabbath, Saturday, or Sunday, right? Look, Paul says, don't get caught up in all the days and the moons and the festivals, right? Yes, Jewish people generally, Friday night to Saturday night is Sabbath time for them. The Gentile church, because on that Saturday, Friday to Saturday, it was a time when they got together, when they worshiped the Lord, when they remembered what he did, when they celebrated his goodness. The Gentile church, because of Jesus' resurrection, on Sunday morning, they gathered together on Sunday to celebrate. He is risen. He is Lord, right? So the church began adopting Sunday as the day when the people got together to rest and to celebrate and to enjoy. If you want to do it on Saturday, okay, I'm not trying to make a legalistic thing for you. If you want to do it on Sunday, do it on Sunday. But make sure in your life you're saying, I'm going to set apart a day when I rest. And I allow my affections, my focus, my thought to be upon the Lord and to listen to him. You know what the psalm says? Be still and what? And know that I'm God. One of our problems is, as Christians, we just work and go and do, and we're not still. And we're not listening. And we don't hear. And we're ineffective. And we're dry. And God is saying, look, I'm giving you this for your good. So the Sabbath day, as we see here in Exodus, is a day that we should set apart, different from all the other days, a day to rest, a day for holy affections, a day that we don't do the usual things that we do, but instead we say, Lord, this is your day. Feed into me, encourage me, rebuke me, correct me, enlighten me. I mean, yeah, you should be doing that every day, but generally speaking, Sunday is a day when you're specifically focused on these things. Notice again in Exodus, it says this, remember the Sabbath, verse 8. And later on, it goes on and talks about observing these things. There's a connection between remembering and observing. I think where it's going is this. Don't just think about, yeah, I should probably rest today. Do it. Do it. Keep a day different from all the other days for your rest, for your being revitalized. Notice in this text, it tells us why. Because the Lord worked for 6 days, and he rested. And he wants his children to do that as well. But what we see in other places also is this. He says, remember, You were under the Egyptians and Pharaoh, and they were taskmasters to you, and they were hard labor that you did, and they didn't give you a day off, right? Remember, I raised up Moses, and I told him to tell Pharaoh, let my people go so that they can go out in the wilderness and do what? They can worship me, and Pharaoh wouldn't let my people go, and so I bring about deliverance for you. Therefore, now, because you've been delivered from the taskmaster, I want you to remember you worked in slavery, and I have set you free. So in some ways, having a day of Sabbath is a reminder not of our bondage to Pharaoh, but of our bondage to the evil one, and that God has set us free. We no longer are under the power and the authority of the evil one, but Christ, through his death, has set us free. And so giving him a day where we specifically focus on him reminds us that we're not slaves to sin, but as Paul says in Romans, slaves to righteousness. Because of Christ and his blood. There are physical benefits to a day of rest. And the best way I can show you is just an example. I've heard this story before. Maybe you've seen it. I'm going to use a couple of people here, right? So let me pick David. David's a big guy, right? He's strong. I mean, he worked in, you don't have to hide your head yet. He worked in the prison system, right? I mean, he's used to dealing with tough things, right? So I tell David and I tell Don, I've got two trees. I need these trees cut down, right? David, I can do this. He grabs his axe, right? He starts banging at the tree. He's going at it. I mean, he's thinking, I can try out for the Florida Marlins. I can hit this tree over and over and over. He's just doing it all the time, right? Don, not as strong, right? So Don, I'm just kidding with him. He picks up this axe, right? So he starts banging on it, right? But then Don says, man, I'm going to rest a little bit, and I'm going to sharpen my axe. David, all the while, he's over here doing what? Boom, 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 boom. Don sharpening his axe. He goes back to cutting down the tree. And they do this. Who's going to cut down the tree first? Don, right? Because what happens with David and his axe is eventually that axe, no matter how strong he is, no matter how big he is, no matter how much energy he's using, that axe will become dull. And it's a diminishing returns. And suddenly, even if he's swinging harder, he's not getting as much. And Don, because he's resting and he's allowing himself to recuperate, to get energy, to take a break, right? And he's sharpening his axe. When he goes back to that tree, it's sharp and it's penetrating. And so Don cuts down a tree, even having rested, while David's over there and he's looking and he says, man, I'm not smarter than a third grader, right? I mean, he's trying to figure it out. And so Don taught third grade for a long time, right? So, but you get the example. When we rest our bodies, we're more efficient. There are people who work and who work and who work, and they don't get nearly as much done as those who take time to rest. Let me give you an example. Some of you have had medical issues. Sean has been working for 30 hours straight as a doctor at the hospital at JFK. Do you want him coming in and doing your surgery? Or do you want the doctor, Sean, who's coming in off a good night's sleep? Right? You want people to rest. Do you want the pilot who's just pulled an all-nighter and now he's going to fly you? Or do you want the pilot who what? Slept at home with his family, had breakfast, right? Rest benefits our bodies. And we live in a day and age where we can't rest or you're not going to do a good. God is saying when we rest, it is good for our bodies. But it's not just physical rest that we benefit by having a Sabbath day. There's also spiritual benefits. The Sabbath day was a day when God's people were called specifically to focus on him. There are some Christians, maybe some of you in this room, that throughout the week, because you get busy, there's not a lot of time spent with the Lord. You wake up, you slip in late because you're tired. You wake up, you don't have time to spend with the Lord because you got to get to work, right? You get up, you go to work, and then you live your life, and then you come home, you've had a long day, you eat dinner, you spend time with your family, And then you do what? I'm really tired, I go to bed. And you just repeat this cycle, right? And there really wasn't any time getting to know the Lord. There wasn't any time in His Word. There wasn't any time praying, seeking His will. And if we're honest, that's where a lot of us are. If we're honest, many Christians, they live that type of life. So the only day that we really have where we're even in the Word at all is on Sunday. And then sometimes we don't even come on Sunday, or sometimes we're not paying attention, or sometimes we just kind of tune out, right? Think about this. In South Florida, I just laid grass this year in April. We need water for our yards, especially in August. And if it doesn't get water, what happens? It starts to wilt, starts to become brown, starts to really just die off. For many Christians, because we don't take time to rest, we don't take time to focus on the Lord, we don't have a day set apart specifically for affections towards Him, we use Sunday to catch up on everything else we're trying to do, we, like grass, we wither in our spiritual walk. We're not allowing God to refresh us, for Him to rain on us, for Him to encourage us. One of the reasons the American church is so weak is because we're not spending time with the Lord. And one of the reasons we don't spend time with the Lord is we're too busy. And all the while, God's saying, look, I've given you a gift, the gift of rest. Use it. Use it. So the question then is, okay, Lord, you say, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. How do I keep it holy? Well, if we think about the idea of holy, it just means to be set apart, to be distinct, to be unlike what the common. So we say to ourselves, Lord, I want to honor your word, so let me do on this day what I don't usually do, or let me limit this day what I usually do. So don't do the same things you always do. And I understand for some of you this is hard. You think it's impossible. Teachers use Sunday as a day to do what? Grade papers, catch up. Do you think that benefits them on Sunday when they go in? That they didn't spend any time really just resting over on a day, that they were busy? So then they get in on Monday morning, and who are they mad at? Everybody! The kids, the parents, the school, themselves, right? They're just frustrated even before the bell rings. Why? Because they've not rested. I know. I try really hard not to grade papers on Sunday. I try really hard not to do lesson plan stuff. I teach over at PBA, and so I try not to do anything for PBA on Sunday. And some of you are saying, well, I don't have time any other time. No, you do. That's the thing. Listen, many businesses would say, if you close on Sunday, you'll never be successful. And all the while, Chick-fil-A says what? We can do it. It ain't caused us to close our doors. We take a day so that our people can rest. We have our people so that if they want to go and worship, they can. And every time I go to that food court over there, I'll tell you this, Taco Bell and McDonald's don't have nearly as many people in line as Chick-fil-A. Right? And I think that's what God is saying. Remember in that text it said, even during harvest time, rest. You see, what happens is we think, well, maybe I'll rest when I don't really have a lot going on, but when I've got things going on, that's when I really got to push through it. And all the while God's saying, no, that's even more when you need to rest, because if you just try to push through it, you're going to burn out. Rest. Make sure you take time to rest, to reflect, to allow me to pour into you, to allow me to speak to you. So I'm not trying to be legalistic, and I'm not trying to tell you what to do or what you can't do. Can you cut the grass? Can I go eat at Sonny's after church? I mean, those are things you have to deal with the Lord, right? But by and large, you have to ask yourself, can I use this day to honor the Lord? Can I use this day? Maybe I'm not going to check Facebook because Facebook eats time. Or maybe I'm not going to grade the papers, right? Or maybe I'm not going to pay bills on Sunday. Or maybe today instead, I'm going to read a book. We say, I don't have time to read the Bible. Oh, we would if we just did. Or maybe you say, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to sleep. I'm going to take a nap. Is that a four-letter word that's bad? Nap? Oh, that's three letters, sorry. I was thinking lazy in my mind. A nap. You know what's amazing is Jesus slept on a boat on the way to a ministry place, didn't he? Jesus knew the importance of rest. Jesus got up early and went and spent time with the Father, right? Nap, maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe you just need to go to the beach. Maybe you need to invest in your family. You see what happens is, especially with younger families, you get so busy during the week and you're running to and fro and they're in school and you get home, you got to hurry up and feed them because you got to go to church, you got to go to baseball practice, or you got ballet or Cub Scouts or whatever it is you're doing in life, and you don't really spend time together. Maybe the most important thing you do today, parents, which honors the Lord, is just spending time with your kids. What'd you learn today at the Rock? What'd you learn in Sunday school? Hey, what'd you think about what Pastor said? Hey, did you hear that song that Don? What do you think that song meant? Right? Just investing in them, talking with them, spending time with them. Some of you are asking, Pastor, say it, say it. Can I watch football on Sundays, right? That's between you and the Lord. I'm not going to tell you yay or nay. All I want you to know is, are you using your Sunday in a way that allows you to rest? Because the Lord really is saying, I want you to rest. I want you to focus on me. I want you to spend time allowing me to revitalize you, to encourage you. Look, tomorrow you're going to hit the field running. It's going to be a mission field wherever you are. So today especially, will you say, Lord, feed me. Lord, revitalize me. Lord, empower me. Lord, remind me. Lord, strengthen me. I am weak and you are strong. Do this in me today. And the Lord is saying, I want to. I want to. I want to. So will you rest? The gift that God is giving us is an opportunity to worship Him, to set time apart for Him, to honor Him. There's a story about Martin Luther, and it was said that he used to pray 3 or 4 hours every day. And they would ask him, hey, Luther, you're pretty busy. How do you find time to pray so long? And Luther's response was, it's because I'm so busy, I have to pray so long. And you know what's amazing is, I think when we honor the Lord in His Word, He provides for our needs. Isn't that what He says? Seek not your own kingdoms, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things we're worried about, He provides. It will be amazing, I think, if you test. He says, test me, try me, see. See if it doesn't happen. Tithing. If you tithe, you'll have. Same thing here. If you trust me and you give me a day of the week that I can invest in you, I will enable you, empower you, and allow you to get accomplished in 6 days what you can't do right now in 7 days if you're using that day to honor me. Do you think He'll do that? Won't He honor His Word? It's not Him that's the problem, it's us. Because we're afraid, if I give the Lord one day, I'm going to be so far behind. And the Lord is saying, if you would give me a day, you would find yourself, like Don over here, ahead. Because I'll honor your obedience, I'll honor your trust, I'll honor your faith, and I'll provide you what you need to get done, what you need to get done. Let me just say one last thing, and that's the sum of you. I prayed earlier, I said, for some of you, maybe you don't know the Lord. For some in this room, the greatest rest that you can receive today is the rest from trying to obtain your own salvation. Because that is the glorious rest. It talks about it in Hebrews, our rest in Christ. You see, some of you are so busy trying to earn God's approval, trying to do things for Him, and all the while He says, look, a Shania Twain song just popped in my head. That don't impress me much. That's really what the Lord is saying. That doesn't impress me. What impresses me is what my Son has done for you. He has accomplished all that needs to be accomplished. Quit trying to earn your salvation and instead rest in the accomplished work of my son. You see, in this room, believers here, we do things to show that we've been saved, but we don't do things in order to earn our salvation. No, our salvation was earned by the only sufficient Savior who died, bearing God's wrath, so that we could have life. And if in this room today, you're trying to earn God's favor, he's saying, stop, repent, believe, and rest in Christ and his finished work. Now look, this doesn't mean you can have a Sabbath every day. Remember what he says in Proverbs, "Hey sluggard, look to the ant." There's a time to work. There's a time to be focused. There's a time to get accomplished. He says 6 days you work, but there's also a time to rest. And I think what we're missing in the Christian church for many of us is we're not resting in God's goodness, in his grace, in his call to know me. Jesus says in Matthew 11, and this is for believer and unbeliever, listen, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Because we're in Christ, we have our burdens placed on him, and we can rest in him, and therefore, whatever other thing we have going on in our lives, God is saying, rest, find rejuvenation, allow me to reveal myself to you like I did to Moses on the mountain, like I did to Jesus in the morning, and you will indeed be restored. This Labor Day, as we think about resting from work, let us truly rest in the Lord. Well, Father, I pray that this message will help some in this room, Lord, who are just tired, who've been in bondage of work. Maybe they've just been in bondage of not resting and allowing you to minister to them and speak to them. Yeah, they may be here on Sunday, but then they go home and they get doing all the things that they always do. Lord, may you show us how if we'll honor you with a day, as you've called us to, Lord, you'll do things that we never have expected in the other six. And Lord, for some in this room, even now, may your Holy Spirit call them to life. May they see the rest that we can have in Jesus, who even now is praying and interceding for his own. Father, thank you that you care about your children. You've set us free, and you've called us to rest and to find our rest in you. Lord, let us take you up weekly on this glorious gift. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.